The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism you bring us to new birth, to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson today is from Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The psalm for today is Psalm 121. And will be read responsively by whole verse. I lift up my eyes to the hills.
From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord.
The
Lord will not let your foot be moved. Behold, the keeper of Israel. The Lord watches over you. The sun will not strike you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in.
From this time forth, forevermore.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe them, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hello, Sawyer. Hi, Kate. Hi, Cameron. And here comes Lexi. I may need a little bit of help this morning because since I'm holding this mic, since my other one isn't working, I'm not sure if I can hold the book that I want to read to you all that well with one hand and turn the pages, but we'll see how it goes. So in the gospel lesson that I just read a minute ago, it talks about a man named Nicodemus, and he went to see Jesus when it was nighttime, when it was dark outside. And it reminded me of this new book that I got for Christmas called God's Holy Darkness. And I thought, maybe I'm going to share it with you this morning. This was written by a Lutheran pastor and illustrated by a Lutheran pastor. So it says, "Darkness and blackness and night are too often compared to lightness and whiteness and day, and are often found deficient. Let us name the beauty and goodness and holiness of darkness and blackness and night." God uses darkness and blackness and night to show love for the world. Creation began in the dark. In the beginning, darkness covered the face of the deep. God poured out love and brought all things into being. Creation is God's work done in holy darkness. When Abraham began to doubt God's promises, the Lord took him on a walk and pointed to the big night sky. "Look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, so shall your descendants be." Later, Jacob wrestled all night with God and was changed forever. The beginning of many nations and peoples of the Lord is the work of God's beautiful darkness. At midnight, the Lord passed over Egypt and set God's people free. Samuel heard a small voice calling to him in the dark, and he became a mighty prophet. When the temple was complete, King Solomon said, "The Lord has said he would dwell in thick darkness. The Spirit of God dwells in the holy darkness, where we are invited to be held in God's love." Angels appeared to the shepherds in the dark and told them of a baby being born in a manger. The disciples gathered with Jesus for the Holy Supper as the day turned into night. When Jesus died on the cross, the day went from black at noon until 3 o'clock. Creation began in holy darkness, and our new lives as free people in Christ began in the darkness of the sky that day. God saved all creation, and it was all the work of God's beautiful, good, and holy darkness. Rich black soil brings forth abundant life. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The deep, dark ocean holds more life than has ever been discovered. We are reminded of the size of God's creation through the boundless, beautiful black of outer space. From the beginning of creation to the stars in the night sky, we are shown God's love. In houses of worship with dark spaces for wonder, we are held in God's love. In the dark soil and in the deep sea, we are reminded of God's love. From the promise of peace made to the shepherds at night to the promise Jesus made on the cross, these are the beautiful works of God's holy darkness. Have you ever thought about God doing so many wonderful things in the darkness? You have? Yeah, this book really reminded me of all of the amazing times that God has used the darkness to bring about good things and to create things and to bring about new birth for things. So often I think that we are afraid of the darkness, but God uses the darkness for really good things. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for darkness. And for all the good things that you do in the dark. Help us to remember that you are with us always, especially in the dark. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats or down the ramp to the children's room. and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the second Sunday in Lent, the second of six Sundays. I guess I can't turn my head so much because the microphone isn't there. It is the second of six Sundays in Lent, and it's the first of four Sundays where we will have gospel readings from the book of John. I love the gospel of John. It's my second favorite gospel. I love that it's different from the other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Not only does it contain a different perspective on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, it also contains some of our favorite stories that aren't contained in the other gospels. It has some different metaphors or word pictures, right? The word became flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Those are word pictures that we know and love and come from the Gospel of John. I love that starting with the very first verse of the book of John, that we are reminded, that we are told that the coming of Christ, the Word becoming flesh, has cosmic significance. And this cosmic significance is reminded to us all throughout the gospel, and again today in the third chapter. And for as much as I love the Gospel of John, I really, really struggle with John 3:16. Not with the verse itself, but what people have done with it. Unfortunately, many Christians have taken these words, which are meant to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and instead have formed them into a weapon that has hurt and harmed countless people. And although this misuse of John 3:16 is fairly new and has only been done in recent decades, its harm is far-reaching. Because what has happened is that some Christians have taken some scissors and they've cut John 3:16 out of John 3, and they only know those words and they don't know the context, and they don't really know what Jesus meant by those words. As a result of taking those scissors and separating John 3:16 from its context, we have as a result misused it and misinterpreted it and misunderstood it. Because these words cannot be broken away from the chapter and the gospel where they live. In John 3, we encounter Nicodemus, who went to Jesus in the darkness of night. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a leader among the Jews, and he went to Jesus, needing to meet with him and talk to him in person. The words in verses 16 and 17 are Jesus' answer to Nicodemus' question, how can these things be? How can it be that we are born anew or born from above? How can it be that we are born from water and spirit? How can these things be? They're not unreasonable questions. And so Jesus, in answering his questions, says, "For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." And Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So what can we do to reinterpret these words so that we understand what Jesus meant, and so that we no longer misuse these words and bring about harm to others. Well, there are three things that I would like to offer. One, we cannot read or understand verse 16 without verse 17. They should never, ever be separated. One of the ways that this verse has been used by Christians to harm others is by using it like a velvet rope at a club, because too many have used it to judge who's in and who's out, like bouncers at a club. But in doing so, we miss the whole point of what Jesus is trying to say. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus' mission in the world is saving the world, not judging it, not condemning it. His mission in the world is love. And by the way, who do we think we are as human beings that we can even judge or condemn someone else's relationship with God or their salvation? Two, I think we have really misunderstood what eternal life means. When Jesus talks about eternal life, we think it means the period of time after death. We live our human life, whatever length of time, and once we die, then we enter into eternal life. No. This is not anything close to what Jesus meant. And by the way, Jesus never ever intended for eternal life to be some kind of prize or reward that we get when we die. Eternal life is a gift of pure grace and mercy from God, and we can do nothing, nothing to earn it or deserve it. When we are baptized into Christ, when we are born again of water and spirit in baptism, that's when our eternal lives begin, while we are still living. We become children of God in the waters of baptism, and we are born anew from water and spirit. And then, in that moment, we receive the gift of eternal life, and it never ends. Beloved of God, we are living in eternal life right now. The gospel of Jesus Christ isn't about the future, some far-off day or place. The kingdom of God is in the present, and it is now. Three, God sent God's Son into the world to save it, because God so loves the world. The Greek word that we translate into English as world is cosmos. Sounds like cosmic, but it's cosmos. Cosmos means the entire created world, absolutely everything that God created. The sun and moon and stars and planets and galaxies and mountains and valleys and rivers and oceans, trees, grass, animals, plants. Every single thing that God has ever created and will ever create is contained in the cosmos. The whole universe, everything that God created, is the scope of God's salvation. But unfortunately, we have far too often narrowed salvation down to just a few humans. We know that God saves us as in humans. Certainly this is true. But that's not what this verse says. This verse says that God so loved the cosmos, God so loved everything that God created. God did not send God's Son into the cosmos to condemn the cosmos, but in order that the cosmos might be saved through him. All of creation is loved by God and has deep value for God because God created it, and God redeems all of it. Beloved, Jesus' death and resurrection affects the entire universe. He who was executed as a criminal among criminals, he who suffered injustice and humiliation and shame on the cross, has brought God's kingdom of justice and mercy, peace and love to the whole universe. And it's in the present. In conquering sin and death, Jesus saves the whole world. God's love is absolutely and completely limitless. It knows no bounds. We humans are the ones who try to limit God's love and put boundaries around it, but this is not who God is. The truth is that any limit or boundary we try to put around God's love doesn't exist to God, because there is no limit that humans can ever create that will limit God's love for any human being or anything else in all of creation. Brothers and sisters, as we continue to journey these 40 days to the great 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection, may our understanding of God's love continue to grow and expand, because God is love, and God's love is limitless. God so loves the sun and the moon and the stars, the planets and the mountains and valleys, the galaxies, the rivers, the oceans, the trees, the grass, the animals, plants, and humankind, every single thing that God created, so that God gave God's only Son in order that every single thing God created might be saved through Jesus. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. O God, you so love your church. Raise up leaders who care for your people. Bless lay theologians, seminary and college professors, and all who are called into ministry of teaching, that they form and inspire us for the work of the gospel. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your creation. Breathe new life into our planetary home. Guide the work of researchers, scientists, and activists who love your earth and who inspire us to care for the natural world. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love the world. Uphold leaders who resist tyranny and oppression. Strengthen organizations that promote peace and harmony. Direct their work to alleviate human suffering and to address its root causes. We pray for the people in Turkey and Syria following the tragic earthquake, killing tens of thousands. We also pray for the people in Ohio in the wake of the devastation after the train derailment. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your people. Draw near to all who live with mental illness, depression, or addiction, and accompany them in healing and recovery. Hear the cries of those who look to you in their distress, especially Dean, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Paul and Carolina, Joe, Robert, Walt, Nancy, John, Karen, and our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud or on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your children. Bless the young in our midst and delight us with their joy, wonder, and curiosity. Revive our ministries with children and youth and equip us for faithful discipleship. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
O God, you so love your saints. As our ancestors in the faith have been blessing to us, so inspire us by their example of holy living to be a blessing to those who come after us. Merciful God,
into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our times, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their heart and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for the Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your self to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Let us sing together the Lord's Prayer. And receive Jesus, our strength in the wilderness. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By the Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
United people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, love to serve.